Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You know, I'm a little baffled by this bashing of President Trump for wanting to open schools with cases up.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what. Science, Trump is echoing what the doctors are saying. And that was kind of missing in the news report I just heard. It was real weird that Fox covered it that way. Let me go to NPR. Headline, U.S. pediatricians call for in-person school this fall. Who's that? The American Academy of Pediatrics. Really? Yeah. Let me read their guidance. Strongly advocates that all policy considerations for the coming school year start with the goal of having students physically present in school. They say it's emotionally harmful for students not to be in school. Child and adolescent physical or sexual abuse, substance abuse, depression, and suicidal ideation are indicated if children do not return to school. So, I mean, I appreciate that the Fox folks we get our news from like to bash Trump and all, but I really wish they'd start using facts. That's the American Academy of Pediatrics, not me. Trump's on the side of science, not the people in the Fox newsroom. I'm just really getting sick of their newscast. Let's do another one. CDC clarified that, this is NPR as well, they never recommended that schools close. What? Whoa. Thinking you listen to our news or any of the other news, you would think, and it's not your news, Lee, I know, we get it from Fox, you can't do anything about it. Listening to it, you'd think, wow, the doctors don't want the kids back, but Trump is so mean, he's going to kill them. Well, that's not what the American Academy of Pediatrics says. That is the leading physicians group that makes that advice, and it's not what the CDC says. CDC, quote, never recommended that schools close. Really? Yeah, really. They did put out a very extensive list that we were bashing yesterday of, you know, what kids should do in school, social distancing, masks, all this kind of stuff, shutting down, you know, big communal rules. But that was as part of their recommendation for opening schools. I'm just sick of propaganda passing as news. I'm sick of factlessness. I'm tired of it. And so the president saying schools should open, he's the one who's consistent with all the experts we're supposed to follow. And I'm sorry if the teachers' unions don't like it, but that ain't science. This is. According to them. So I just wanted to clarify that. I've watched that for 2 days, and I'm like, what kind of junk reporting is this? It's everywhere. And so these poor parents are watching press. Oh, my God, he wants to kill my child. No, he's following the recommendation of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Again, their word strongly advocates that all policy considerations for the coming school year start with the goal of having students physically present in school. Yet somehow the president is a quack for wanting to open schools, but the people at the American Academy of Pediatrics aren't. This is the game. I'm so sick of this game. I'm tired of this game. I'm just worn out of it. They need to pick one. We're either going to listen to the experts or we're not. So the media is on the total wrong side here. They just are. Again, CDC never recommended schools close. That's why they put out the recommendation for what we should do when we open them. So, there we go. Thought I'd amend that news report to include the other side because it's quite substantial. Anyway, in other news, Barack Obama abruptly halted H1N1 testing? What? Wait. If you don't test, you're killing people. I don't know. We're testing at a higher rate than we ever have. We're testing at a higher rate per capita than in any other country on Earth, and that's why we're getting more positive responses. Media won't tell you that either. But it's funny who is telling us about this. A Biden advisor. A medical advisor. Obama, quote, abruptly advised states to stop testing for the H1N1 flu and stop counting reported cases. Cheryl Atkinson reported it at the time that the rationale, quote, to forego testing and tracking individual cases was, why waste resources testing for H1N1 flu when the government had already confirmed there's an epidemic? Wow. CDC confirms eventually that 60 million Americans would get it. That's the estimate they don't know because they stopped testing. So what they're trashing Trump for right now, I guess we didn't test early enough, often enough. Obama did. Obama did it. And no one cares. It's unbelievable. Here's Biden, quote, "The crisis in Arizona is the direct result of Donald Trump's failure to lead and his desire to slow the testing down, and Americans are suffering the consequences." Yet that is exactly what the Obama administration did with H1N1. It's unbelievable. "The failure undoubtedly cost lives," a study by Purdue University scholars published October 15, 2009. Determined that, quote, "the H1N1 vaccine would arrive too late to help most Americans who would be infected during this flu season. The study determined that the CDC's planned vaccination campaign would likely not have a large effect on the total number of people ultimately infected by the pandemic." Ron Klain, who is an advisor to Biden's campaign, quote, "we did every possible thing wrong. 60 million Americans got H1N1 in that period of time, and it is purely a fortuity that this isn't one of the great mass casualty events in American history. It had nothing to do with us doing anything right. It just had to do with luck." He says, if anyone thinks this can't happen again, they don't have to go back to 1918. They just have to go back to 2009, 2010, and imagine a virus with a different lethality, and you can just do the math on that. So what he's saying is, you know, we were fortunate that H1N1 turned out at the end not to be as lethal. And that's why a lot of people didn't die. But once they realized they had epidemic status, they just stopped testing. Exactly what they're accusing Trump of. See, if we had an honest media, we would know these things. But we don't. This level of testing's never been done by the government before. Ever. For anything. Not in modern times. And that's why we have the number of cases we have. It's a big factor contributing to it, but the media won't tell you that either. I'm so tired of the way this is being reported. I'm out of here. I'm just done. All right. Anyway, Joe Biden vowed an end to the era of shareholder capitalism? What? This is in Dunmore, Pennsylvania, yesterday. Unveiled his economic vision, declaring an end to the era of shareholder capitalism. It's way past time to put an end to the era of shareholder capitalism. Wait a minute. You mean like the stock market? What? The idea, quote, "the idea the only responsibility a corporation has is to its shareholders. That is simply not true. It's an absolute farce. They have a responsibility to their workers, their community, and their country." An end to shareholder capitalism? Do the folks on Wall Street do they know he just declared war on the stock market? That'd be really sad, because shareholder capitalism is one of the few direct paths that the middle class has to wealth. They save, they invest, 401ks. Wait, he's going to replace a system of shareholder capitalism? Biden proposed a more inclusive system built on the power of labor unions and on Black, Brown, and Native American communities that he said had been left out of the economic prosperity. Well, these people could buy stocks now. You do it this morning if you like. They don't even cost that much. You get the right ones. Accessible to everybody. Just get an account. It's not hard. My 10-year-old has one. He uses money he earns around the house. An end to the era of shareholder capitalism. Anybody going to ask what he's talking about? Texter writes, "hey Tara, factlessness, is that even a word?" No, but it should be. I kind of like it. Texter writes, "Tara, note that the ABC News report doesn't mention that the security guard and his wife who killed Lewis are not white." Yeah, he was a rapper from the 1990s. Murdered by a security guard for not wearing a mask in California. His car broke down. I guess it sounds like he had two flat tires. He was out there in the parking lot trying to fix it himself. And I guess he was a rapper of some note because his songs were on Beavis and Butthead. Anyway, so he goes into by the way, do you know they're retooling Beavis and Butthead? Did you see that? They're coming back out with it again. I saw that and I went, Could you even do Beavis and Butthead true to form today? Like, what would they even say? I mean, if you can't offend anybody, I don't even know. What's each episode going to be 3 minutes and 43 seconds long? Half of it commercials? I mean, I don't know how they could do it. Anyway, so the rappers, they were on Beavis and Butthead. It's his songs. And so he's out there. He's trying to fix his truck. Two tires are flat. So he's got to go into the store. He hadn't planned to go into the store. So he didn't have his mask, right? Needed something to fix the car. And he gets confronted by the security guard for not having the mask on. They exchange words. So Pushin gets involved. But anyway, he tells him to leave the store. So he does. He goes back out, starts working on his car again. Security guard's wife shows up. She's got one gun. The security guard's got two. They kill him. Over a mask. All right. Texters writing in on this. And by the way, this is all part of the Unity platform with Bernie Sanders. So Joe Biden has signed on to a Unity platform with Sanders, which ought to terrify you. So, I mean, this is Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist. I mean, he doesn't hide it. And Sanders is very pleased with all of this. He is so excited that Joe Biden has signed on to this. And part of it is the end of shareholder capitalism. The end of shareholder capitalism. Sound like a good idea to you? And they're going to replace it with something new, he says. So end of shareholder capitalism. Wouldn't that mean, I mean, and the media would ask this if they were honest. But they won't. End of shareholder. You mean like the stock market? I mean, because if you can't have shareholders, then you can't have the stock market, right? Here's Bernie on how excited he is about this plan that Biden has signed on to.
I was glad to work with the vice president. If implemented, will make Biden the most progressive president since FDR.
Wow, there we go. So the media tells us, hey, just moderate. Oh, there's Bernie. I mean, he's a stamp of approval right there. Stamp of approval right there. Wow. Okay, well, what else is in the Unity platform? And by that, they mean unity between Democrats and socialists. Biden is now proposing re-imaging the police and fewer criminals in prison. Now, Biden already signed on to the ACLU plan to empty half of the criminals out of federal prisons. And you got to understand what's in a federal prison. They bring the, and I covered federal court for many years, so I know how it works. City police will bring in the feds on their toughest cases, usually cases of organized crime that are just beyond the ability of local police to really go after. So this is not the guy on the corner selling a bag of marijuana. This is not who that is. The feds don't go after that. They go after the big organized cases where you got gangs that are working with higher level people to distribute drugs, kill people, run prostitution rings, that kind of stuff. I mean, the people in federal prison, believe me, are not there for a dime bag of pot. FBI doesn't. They don't bother with that. They don't arrest a guy on the corner selling that. They just don't. They shouldn't. Local police, if that should be handled, can handle it. So when Biden says he wants to end the era of mass incarceration, and he's pledging to reduce the prison population by half. Whoa. I mean, the crime surge. And think about it. When you call the police, will they come? I mean, that is an open question right now in these cities. Okay. So I'm just wondering what happens. I'm trying to picture the America if Biden wins. And I'm having a hard time doing it. End of shareholder capitalism. And, you know, any honest media would be, could you elaborate on it? No shareholders and corporations? Dude. Again, that is the most, probably the most accessible way to wealth for the middle class. Heck, lower middle class. I mean, if you could save 10 bucks a month, you can be an owner of stocks. I know that because that's what my 10-year-old son's done. He's got over $1,000 in stock. He earned every penny of it. Up from 800, by the way, when he started investing. He can't even drive. It's highly accessible to people. It's way past time to put an end to the era of shareholder capitalism. The idea the only responsibility a corporation has is to its shareholders. That's simply not true. It's an absolute farce. They have a responsibility to their workers, their community, and their country, Biden says. Okay, well, so we're going to keep it, though, right? We're just going to ask corporations to be more responsible to others. No. In place of shareholder capitalism? Wait, it's going somewhere? Biden proposes a more inclusive system built on the power of labor unions and on Black, Brown, and Native American communities that he said have been left out of economic prosperity. In place? In place? Folks, I gotta tell you what, these big heads of corporations better wake up. Did you see this, by the way? Here's the weird thing, right? You guys, did you see what just happened to Jeff Bezos? You know, the owner of Amazon. Did you see what happened to him? Did you catch this? I mean, he's done so much for the left. He owns the Washington Post. They do nothing but manufacture lies about Trump, right? He's down for the struggle. You think, did you see what these activists did? They found his house and they dragged guillotines out in front of his house and demanded his head. You'd think like Nancy'd call that off or something, right? I mean, he's not written enough checks or something. Are they going to wake up? And then that leads to another question. Do these Democrat elites like Pelosi, Schumer, all them, do they even control these activists anymore who are in front of Bezos' house with the guillotines? Or have they lost control of them? I'm not sure. But I know this, Biden is now kowtowing to him. You ever see a thing that moves you to your core? You can't get it out of your head. I saw a thing like that a couple weeks ago, right here in Greenville. Thought long and hard about bringing it up. Decided several times not to. Too controversial. Then I thought my way through it and thought, well, all right, I know a way to do it. It was a remarkable thing. One of the most loving things I've ever seen a person do, because it was at great personal risk. I'll tell you the story, and a lot of you have texted me about this. You want to know, why haven't I talked about the protest at Tanner's Big Orange? The owner of Tanner's posted very clearly racist posts on Facebook, and it's indisputable. That drew the crowd, and so the crowd was protesting outside of Tanner. She'd probably seen the whole thing. All right. Several weeks ago, an elderly gentleman in a truck was accused of driving through the protest crowd in front of Tanner's. So that's been going on for a while, and then the police were looking for him, and then there was quite a to-do when they decided to charge the protesters for throwing objects at his car and at police, but not to charge the man who plowed through the crowd. A lot of you saying, why'd you talk about this? Why are you ignoring this? You know what's going on? Look, yeah, and you know, I'll tell you why I didn't do it. Why I didn't talk about it. I went to watch the tape. There's a problem with the tape. There's a video of it. It starts in the middle. I don't know what happened in the first half. All I can see is a very angry crowd, enraged crowd, surrounding a man's vehicle. Now, in the half of the video, you can see, does he run anyone over or try to? No. But the crowd is obviously enraged about something. You can't see what, because you don't have the first half of the video. How'd he end up in the middle of the crowd? How'd he end up in the middle of the parking lot? Was it hostile? Was it an accident? I don't know. I only have half a tape. So I haven't talked about it because it wouldn't be fair to talk about it. I literally can't say who's wrong here. I don't know, and I'm not going off half-cocked. I don't do that. That is the big problem in this country. We go off half-cocked with half a tape. Did this guy try to run down the crowd? He may have. I don't know. Let me tell you something to the Greenville police. We've got an interim chief over there. He seems like a really nice guy. Let me just give you a piece of advice. We need to see the first half of that tape, or you're going to have problems for years. Because you haven't answered the questions. We got half a tape. We got very angry Black Lives Matter activist saying he tried to run them over. You chose not to charge him. You charged some of them. Why? Where's the first half? I mean, surely there must have been a reason for that decision. Tell us what it was. You can't leave a thing like that hanging, not in these times. So I'm not going to take any position on it because I'm not educated enough to. Unfortunately, it was reported as fact that he tried to run people down and that he was a racist, and now there's a lot of racial anger about it. Should I be angry? I don't know. But I'm not going off half-cocked. I don't do that, and that's why I didn't talk about it. But that leads me to what I want to talk about the video that did come out. Because it stuck in my head, and I sat and I watched it with my kids many times. I'm very familiar with this whole thing. Again, I'm not weighing in on it. I'm going to take an aside. Beyond advising the police that you need to give the public a little more than you have. I very rarely agree with these protesters, but they're not wrong on this. What was your thought process? What evidence did you have that caused you to decide not to charge the driver? Honest to God, I'm totally curious. I don't know. I don't know who's right here. I can't. I am too ignorant on this, as is everybody else in this community, except those who were there, to know what happened. And I'm sick of this country going off half-cocked. I'm sick of it. It is destroying our country on both sides. So I've decided I will not comment on these cases, even if it hurts my ratings. I'm not doing it. I am not driving this anymore. I'm not doing it. I do not have enough information to draw a conclusion in this case, much less talk about what happened there. Because I don't know. I don't know. I have half a video. But there was something on that video that was remarkable, and I can't get it out of my head. It moved me. For whatever reason, whatever had happened before, we don't know because we can't see it. There's an old man in a truck, nice truck. And they are furious. The crowd is furious at him. They are enraged at whatever has just happened. We don't know what. And they're trying to pull him out of the car. And so they're reaching into the car for him. And then he takes his fist and tries to clock one in the face. They're both very heated and very angry. You can see the anger on both sides. The old man, the driver, and the crowd. Who's in the right now? I don't know. I'm not taking a position. I literally don't know. And I wish the rest of the media had said that to you, too, that they don't know either, because they don't know. They don't know any more than I do. Community needs to know, though. And that's when something remarkable happened. And I just want to thank the police officer who did this, because it absolutely moved me. This is right after the George Floyd, you know, the whole George Floyd situation. Police ain't exactly popular. Understandable if you see the video. The crowd is enraged. So's the driver. They're beginning to tussle back and forth through the window. Several other officers are on the scene. They're standing around watching it, but not doing much. One officer did something different. He put his body in between the crowd and the man in the vehicle. Blocked them. Blocked the man's punches at the crowd and the crowd reaching in for him. It was a highly tense situation. Now think about where that officer's coming from. He's in a real weird position. He can't defend himself. Now literally, like, if he were to pull out his gun or pull out his pepper spray or anything, he could have easily been killed. That mob was incensed. He could have stood on the side like the others. I'm not blaming them. Don't misunderstand. I get it. Believe me, you just want to go home to your family. I get it. But this officer didn't. He could have stood on the side with the others watching the crowd, but he didn't. He took the only weapon he had, his body, and put it in between that crowd. And when I say in between the crowd, I'm not talking feet. The officer was literally smashed body to body in between the crowd and the man in the car. Both enraged. Car could have driven off and dragged the officer. He could have been crushed by the crowd trying to get to the man. And he begged him to stop. It was the bravest thing I've ever seen anybody do. It was the most selfless thing I've ever seen anybody do. He didn't have to do it. He used his body to do it. It was a crazy risk. If I was his wife, we'd have a long conversation. But it worked. It defused the incident. That man is a hero. Not because he's a police officer, but because he's a good and decent human being who took an incredible risk, and it paid off, thank God. Could have gone the other way. And it touched me, and I've watched it over and over and over again. And whoever he is, and I don't want to know. I don't want to say his name. I don't want him getting any more attention. But whoever is, I just want to thank you and tell you this. You're my hero. You are. That was awesome. Not as an officer, but as an American, as a good person. That risk you took. Oh, my. On the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. OMG, texter writes, you should be an ambassador for Black Lives Matter. They must love you. Oh, come on. No, I'm an ambassador for the truth, and I don't know the truth in that case, and I'm not going to say that I know the truth when I have half a recording. I don't know. I may not like the protesters much after I see it, but I haven't seen it. Neither has anyone in the media in this town. Yet conclusions were drawn, and this is why the Greenville police must cough up either the other half of that tape or whatever surveillance video footage they have of that elderly gentleman driving through the parking lot. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about that police officer. If he's out there and he's listening, he listens to this later, I'm sure he'll hear about it and he'll pull it. Thank you. That was incredible. I don't know if I would have the guts to do that. It was such an act of love. Because think about the mentality, right? You're a police officer, right? On one side, you've got enraged protesters. They're really angry. On another side, you've got a guy in a vehicle. They've surrounded the vehicle. The guy's throwing punches at them through the window. They're trying to grab him through the window. There is just rage in the air. Watch it. It's on the video. And this officer, whoever he is, knows this. He can't whip out his gun. Not in this environment, he can't. Can't whip out the pepper spray. Might have 10 years ago. For two reasons. Number one, he would have been absolutely destroyed and vilified and lost his job, probably destroyed nationally for pepper spraying a protest crowd. But number two, crowd was too big. He could have easily been overwhelmed. He had no choice but to not use his weapons. And he could have stood on the side like the other police officers did. I'm not bashing them. I probably would have done what they did. That's what makes this so remarkable. But he didn't do any of those things. He went plunging into the crowd using nothing but his body. And he put his body between the driver of the running car, literally smashed up against the car, and the crowd. Diffusing the situation only with his words and his body. It took an incredible amount of courage. You know what it reminded me of? That Bible story, and people are donating money. They're, you know, giving tithes or whatever. And this little old widow comes up and she puts some tiny amount into the box. But it was all for her. And so Jesus praises her. I love that story because she's given the most. It reminded me of that. The officers at the scene, all of them, anyone who would even be at a scene like that when the rest of us are throwing our hands up and going, we give up, they've given some. But he put it all on the line. That could have ended very badly for him. Again, if I was his mom or his wife, I would have been absolutely terrified watching that. I would beg him never to do it again. But he did it. Again, it was one of the most loving things I've seen, one of the most courageous things I've seen. It wasn't about policing or politics. It's just an act of love for fellow man. When fellow man ain't so pretty, isn't very sympathetic, and it diffuses the situation. It diffused what could have been a really bad situation. He's a white guy, by the way, although that doesn't matter. Anyways, the most courageous thing I've seen anyone do, and I so admired it, I watched it many times. Probably watch it again. It's right there in the middle of the video. It only lasts a few seconds. But it was a true act of love. At a potentially great price, he didn't know if he'd had to pay going in. So thank you, officer. Thanks a lot. It's that kind of thing we don't see enough on video. If you want to see it for yourself, and it becomes more remarkable as you continue to watch the video each time and understand it, it's in the Tanner's Big Orange driver drive-through video, just within the first few minutes. Google it online and watch it. Anyway, I want to thank him. I don't want to make him too famous. Might get him in trouble. I don't know. But thank you, officer. It was awesome.